Section 11. Our relationship to other temperance groups. Chapter 1. Working together. Stand shoulder to shoulder. In other churches, there are Christians who are standing in defense of the principles of temperance. We should seek to come near to these workers and make a way for them to stand shoulder to shoulder with us. We should call upon great and good men to second our efforts to save that which is lost. Unite when we can. Whenever you can get an opportunity to unite with the temperance people, do so. In his labors, my husband, whenever he had opportunity, invited the workers in the temperance cause to his meetings and gave them an opportunity to speak. And when invitations were given us to attend their gatherings, we always responded. Linking only with those loyal to God. We are not to take our stand with temperance clubs composed of all classes of men, with all kinds of selfish indulgences, and call them reformers. There is a higher standard for our people to rally under. We must, as a people, make a distinction between those who are loyal to the law of God and those who are disloyal. A sensible attitude toward other organizations. The temperance question is to be respected by every true Christian, and especially should it receive the sanction of all who profess to be reformers. But there will be those in the church that will not show wisdom in the treatment of this subject. Some will show marked disrespect to any reforms arising from any other people besides those of their own faith. In this, they err by being too exclusive. Others will grasp eagerly every new thing which makes a pretense of temperance, having every other interest swallowed up in this one point. The prosperity and peculiar holy character of our faith is ignored. The parties upon temperance are embraced, and an alliance formed between God's commandment-keeping people and all classes of persons. Dangers beset the faith of every soul who is not closely connected with God. Lessons from a detrimental union with a superficial groups. Societies and clubs have been formed among those who make no profession of the truth. Note, in the latter half of the 19th century, a number of popular temperance organizations were formed with large memberships. These were relatively short-lived and are not known today by the general public. I was shown that the condition of the church at blank was peculiar. Many who, had they given as much zeal and manifested as much missionary spirit in the work of reform among us as a people as they have given to the Red Ribbon Club, their course would have been sanctioned by God. But the different organizations upon temperance are very limited in their ideas of reform. Those who give so great influence to the agitation of this question and at the same time are devotees of tobacco, drink tea and coffee, and indulge in health-destroying food at their tables are not temperance people. They make weak and spasmodic movements, full of zeal and excitement, but they do not go to the bottom of true reform, and in a short time will show flagging interest and a returning of many to their old, wicked indulgences, because they merely picked off the leaves of the tree instead of laying the axe at its root. This matter of temperance must go to the root of the evil, or it will be of but little avail. Our influence must be with loyal and true. While our people mingle with the class who are enemies of Christ and the truth, they neither gain nor give strength. We must not be exclusive as a people. Our light is diffusive, constantly seeking to save the perishing. But while we are doing this, our strength of influence must ever be found with the loyal and true. God's house desecrated. The house dedicated to the worship of God is not the place to bring in the class that come into the house of God and defile the temple of God with their intemperance in the use of tobacco while they profess to be temperance advocates. The coarse speeches, the noisy talk and actions are not a credit to these brethren. It is impossible for our people to harmonize with any party or temperance club when our faith is so dissimilar. our unbelieving friends have stood exulting while they see the dissension in the church that has grown out of our people uniting with the Red Ribbon Club. They have had no sympathy for us as a people upon the subject of temperance. They are far behind and have ridiculed our people as fanatics upon health. They are willing now to be favored and receive the strength of our influence while they come no nearer in sympathy to our faith, when if the matter had been managed discreetly, it might have had that influence upon some to change their opinion of our faith.
If the Temperance Club had been left to stand on its own ground, we as a people, standing upon our advanced ground, keeping respectively the high standard God has given us to meet as necessary to our position and faith, there would have been a much more healthy influence existing upon the temperance question in the church than now is revealed. Not to sacrifice principle. From the light God has given me, every member among us should sign the pledge and be connected with the Temperance Association. We should unite with other people just as far as we can and not sacrifice principle. This does not mean that we should join their lodges and societies. Note, these remarks were made by Mrs. White at the annual meeting of the Michigan Health and Temperance Association. Her statement touched on a number of resolutions just presented, among which were the following. Resolved, that we encourage the organization of a local club in the church to which we belong or with which we are associated. Resolved, that we urge our young people to take an active part in our local clubs and at the same time endeavor to guard them from the influence of other societies that do not adopt the high moral and physical standard that we advocate. The Review and Herald, October 21, 1884, 669. Italics supplied by compilers. But that we should let them know that we are most heartily in sympathy with the temperance question. We should not work solely for our own people, but should bestow labor also upon noble minds outside of our ranks. We should be at the head in the temperance reform. An effective work in uniting with Christian temperance workers. Soon after my husband and I returned from California to Michigan in the spring of 1877, we were earnestly solicited to take part in a temperance mass meeting, a very praiseworthy effort in progress among the better portion of the citizens of Battle Creek. This movement embraced the Battle Creek Reform Club, 600 strong, and the Woman's Christian Temperance Union, 260 strong. God, Christ, and Holy Spirit, and the Bible were familiar words with these earnest workers. Much good had already been accomplished, and the activity of the workers, the system by which they labored, and the spirit of their meetings promised greater good in time to come. By invitation of the Committee of Arrangements, Mayor Austin Skinner, cashier of the First National Bank, and Peavy, I spoke in the Mammoth Tent, Sunday evening, July 1st, upon the subject of Christian temperance. God helped me that evening, and although I spoke 90 minutes, the crowd of fully 5,000 persons listened in almost breathless silence. Give temperance talks in other churches. Let the talks upon temperance reform which are given to Seventh-day Adventists be given to the other churches. There is to be no raid made by Seventh-day Adventists by pen or voice against any temperance movement. Doctrinal differences not to alienate us. Although its friends do not believe with us in many points of doctrine. Note, reference is here made to the Martha Washington Home in Chicago, where, upon invitation, Mrs. White gave a temperance address. Compilers. Yet we will unite with them when by so doing we can aid our fellow men. God would have us individually learn to work with tact and skill in the cause of temperance and other reforms, and employ our talents wisely in benefiting and elevating humanity. If we would enter into the joy of our Lord, we must be collaborators with Him. With the love of Jesus warm in our hearts, we shall always see some way to reach the minds and hearts of others. It will make us unselfish, thoughtful, and kind. And kindness opens the door of hearts. Gentleness is mightier far than a Jehu spirit. To sense our responsibility. Those who have labored in the temperance cause, and who in their work have had the Lord behind them, should have had far more labor put forth in their behalf. We need to feel our responsibility in this work. Relieved of establishing buildings. It is the plan and constant effort of Satan to entangle the work of God in a supposed beneficent and excellent work, so that doors cannot be opened to enter new fields and work with people who have an advanced acquaintance with temperance principles. To unite with them in their work would be to do a special work for this time, without taking on the responsibilities of a work which will enforce an expenditure of means in establishing buildings that will embarrass the conferences, a work which will absorb and consume but not produce. God will open the way. Seek every opportunity to enlighten and benefit the temperance workers. The temperance organization is one that I have ever respected. If you will be guided by the Holy Spirit, ways will open for you to work. Chapter 2. Cooperating with the W, an organization with which we can unite. The Woman's Christian Temperance Union is an organization with whose efforts for the spread of temperance principles we can heartily unite. The light has been given me that we are not to stand aloof from them, but, while there is to be no sacrifice of principle on our part, as far as possible, we are to unite with them in laboring for temperance reforms. We are to work with them when we can, and we can assuredly do this on the question of utterly closing the saloon. As the human agent submits his will to the will of God, the Holy Spirit will make the impression upon the hearts of those to whom he ministers. I have been shown that we are not to shun the W workers. By uniting with them in behalf of total abstinence, we do not change our position regarding the observance of the seventh day, and we can show our appreciation of their position regarding the subject of temperance. By opening the door and inviting them to unite with us on the temperance question, we secure their help along temperance lines, and they, by uniting with us, will hear new truths which the Holy Spirit is waiting to impress upon hearts. Surprised at our indifference. I have had some opportunity to see the great advantage to be gained by connecting with the W workers, and I have been much surprised as I have seen the indifference of many of our leaders to this organization. I call on my brethren to awake. How we may work together. We need at this time to show a decided interest in the work of the Woman's Christian Temperance Union. None who claim to have a part in the work of God should lose interest in the grand object of this organization in temperance lines. It would be a good thing if at our camp meetings we should invite the members of the W to take part in our exercises. This would help them to become acquainted with the reasons of our faith and open the way for us to unite with them in the temperance work. If we do this, we shall come to see that the temperance question means more than many of us have supposed. In some matters, the workers of the W are far in advance of our leaders. The Lord has in that organization precious souls, who can be a great help to us in our efforts to advance the temperance movement. And the education our people have had in Bible truth and in a knowledge of the requirements of the law of Jehovah will enable our sisters to impart to these noble temperance advocates that which will be for their spiritual welfare. Thus, a union and sympathy will be created where in the past there has sometimes existed prejudice and misunderstanding. We cannot do a better work than to unite, so far as we can do so without compromise, with the W workers. Concerning this matter, I wrote to one of our sisters in 1898. The Lord, I fully believe, is leading you that you may keep the principles of temperance clear and distinct in all their purity in connection with the truth for these last days. They that do His will shall know of the doctrine. The Lord does not bid you separate from the woman's Christian temperance union. They need all the light you can give them. Flash all the light possible into their pathway. You can agree with them on the ground of the pure, elevating principles that first brought into existence the woman's Christian temperance union. The Lord has given you capabilities and talents to be preserved uncorrupted in their simplicity. Through Jesus Christ, you may do a good work. They to teach our women how to work. Much good would be done if some of the W women were invited to our camp meetings to take part in the meetings by teaching our sisters how to work. While at the meeting, they would be hearing and receiving as well as imparting. There is a great work to be done, and instead of presenting the features of our faith which are objectionable to unbelievers, let us say to them as Philip said to Nathanael, "Come and see." We cannot unite with them in exalting Sunday. I want to unite with the W workers, but we cannot unite with them in a work of exalting a false Sabbath. We cannot work in lines that would mean the transgression of the law of God. But we say to them, come on to the right platform. Never refuse invitations to speak. The question has been asked me. When asked by the W to speak in their meetings, shall we accept the invitation? In answer, I reply, when asked to speak in such meetings, never refuse. This is the rule that I have always followed. When asked to speak on temperance, I have never hesitated. Among those who are working for the spread of temperance, the Lord has souls to whom the truth for this time is to be presented. We are to bear a message to the W. Christ's one purpose when upon this earth was to reflect the light of His righteousness to those in darkness. The W workers have not the whole truth on all points, but they are doing a good work. Free to act in concert with them. I am deeply interested in the W. It is the Lord's pleasure that you should feel free to act in concert with them. I am not afraid that you will lose your interest or backslide from the truth because you interest yourself in this people who have taken such a noble stand for the temperance question. And I shall urge our people and those not of our faith to help us in carrying forward the work of Christian temperance. In our labors together, my husband and I always felt that it was our duty to demonstrate in every place where we held meetings that we were fully in harmony with the workers in the temperance cause. We always laid this question before the people in plain lines. Invitations would come to us to speak in different places on the temperance question, and I always accepted these invitations if it was possible. This has been my experience not only in this country, but in Europe and Australia and other places where I have labored. Lose not one opportunity to unite with temperance work. I am sorry that there has not been a more lively interest among our people of late years to magnify this branch of the Lord's work. We cannot afford to lose one opportunity to unite with the temperance work in any place. Although the cause of temperance in foreign countries does not always advance as rapidly as we could wish, yet in some places, decided success has attended the efforts of those who engaged in it. In Europe, we found the people sound on this question. On one occasion, when I accepted an invitation to speak to a large audience on the subject of temperance, the people did me the honor of draping above the pulpit the American flag. My words were received with the deepest attention, and at the close of my talk, a hearty vote of thanks was accorded me. I have never, in all my work on this question, had to accept one word of disrespect.